Good morning, brothers and sisters. God bless you, and just pray that the Lord will bless this day and this new daily devotion as we continue on what we've been talking about earlier this week. And this is the last day for me this time to build up and give something to the body of Christ, and we just go to the Lord in prayer and pray that He blesses His word. So, Heavenly Father, Lord, we first of all want to thank you, Lord, for this new and wonderful day. Just pray that you bless it, Lord, and that you just be with us, Lord, and guide us through the day. Lord, we're sinners, Lord. We're sinners saved by your grace. And we're so thankful, Lord, that you saw us, Lord, and you stretched out your hand. Lord, may you just bless the thought, continue to bless the devotion, Lord, and all the things that we talked about. May you just put something in each and every one that listens, Lord. Driving power, Lord, to go towards the finish line. Lord, you see each and every one's lives and what we go through. And you see every step that we need to take, Lord, to help us to take the step, Lord. And we just want to commit everything to you. So bless your word and bless each and everyone listening. So lay it all in your hands. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Yes. So we can just go right to the verse that we have been talking about in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. In verse 13. And there it says, "And now abide faith, hope, love, or charity, these three, but the greatest of these is love." So, as I've been saying in the earlier mornings here, that faith, hope, and love is something not what that we can produce in ourselves. You know, we can try to have faith in whatever we want. We can try to have hope in whatever we want by our own thoughts and by what we want in our own minds. But it won't have this substance that it needs until God comes. And that is also when it comes to love and charity. We only go so far in our human ability to love. But the love of God goes beyond the natural love that we can give. And that is what happens when the believer gets filled by the Spirit. It receives something so beautiful and great from God. And we spoke also yesterday about the three first verses in this chapter. And it says, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become a sounding brass or clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned but have not love, it profits me nothing. So it's really put all the way at the edge here by Paul, saying that if you have all these things, all gifts, all knowledge, all faith, so that you could remove mountains, but you don't have love, we are actually nothing. Because he's talking about if all these things come out of a self-centered approach, that it's all about you. And then gifts can be from God. Understanding can be from God. Knowledge can come from God. Faith comes from God. You can have all these things, but if you don't have love, the love that really attributes who God is and how He puts in His attributes in the believer, because that's what we want to look for, you know. And that's what we want to look for in ourselves when we have our relationship with Jesus. We see fruits of having this relationship. So that's what we want to see in ourselves and also in the ones that we put our trust in. When it comes to the Word of God and the teaching of the Word of God. So I was planning on continuing here in verse 4. And look at these points of what love really is. And in verse 4, it says that love suffers long. Love suffers long. And then you can start thinking, yeah, what does that mean? And love suffers long really means that it outholds more than the human ability. And then it takes me right back to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, when he's through his whole ministry, he could have put himself forward and say all kinds of things and revealing all kinds of things of the things and justify all the things that he's doing. All the things that he did through his ministry, he could have used it against everyone. But he was so submitted to the Spirit of God. And in the end, even though all the pain, all the opposition that he faced leading up to the cross, and then in the end hanging on the cross, he could say, Lord, forgive them, because they do not know what they do. That's what I think about when love suffers long. It goes beyond the human ability of loving. Because if this would have been, you know, us humans with our human love, we would have gone mad. We would have gone impatient and started complaining. But you know, when you are so close to God as Jesus was in his relationship with God, because it says that I and the Lord are one, which really talks about, this is the last verse in John chapter 10. It really talks about the contact, the relationship Jesus had with his Father, which gave him ability to suffer long. And it says also that love is kind. And love is kind really means that you're always after, and to look for the best things in people. So you want to, even though people have their bad sides, which you know, because we are all human beings. But love is kind. It really means that you're out, you're looking to find the best attributes in people, and that's what you want to focus on. Instead of looking at the bad sides and focus there. So this love is kind. Love does not envy. So it doesn't get jealous when others are blessed. It doesn't say that if he or she is getting it, or no, let me rephrase. It says that love does not envy, which means that it doesn't get jealous on others when they're blessed. So when you don't get anything, you don't say to others that, well, if I don't get it, they're not having it. You know, that's something that can come up in the human beings, us humans, when we see others are blessed. But when you have this love, you're able to rejoice with the ones that are blessed and say, Lord, give them more grace, give them more. It gives you a ability to not be jealous when others are blessed, rather the opposite. And it says, love does not parade itself, which really means that it doesn't long for personal gain. You know, what's in it for me? It doesn't, that's not what, it doesn't drive you in that matter. What do I get out of this when I do this now? And you start to measure out the cost. But love, it doesn't have, it doesn't parade itself. And which leads up to, is not, love is not puffed up. It doesn't have a puffed up attitude. It doesn't. Also, it says here that does not rejoice in iniquity. I think that was the next. No, it's verse 5. Does not behave rudely. So it doesn't have a mean or tough attitude towards others, or it doesn't set itself over others, but rather put others higher than themselves. This love, it makes you humble. It makes you put other people over you in a loving sense. And it says, it does not seek its own. So again, which means that, what do I get out of this? What do I win on doing this? It doesn't measure in that way. Love has this patient attitude with others and wants to see the best thing in others. And it also says, it is not provoked, which means that it doesn't get bitter or offended by others' attitude. It gives you an ability to brush off the bitter attitude of others. And as we read earlier, that love is kind, but it rather desires to see the best in people and want to see the, and picks up the good things. And it kind of puts a lid over the bad sides that we see in human beings. So it really gives us grace to be, to see people in a good and better light. And it says, It thinks no evil. That's the last one in verse 5. Love thinks no evil, which means that it doesn't hide on the evil, but it's always forgiving, and it forgets quickly what has been done towards the believer, and it forgives quick. It doesn't hide and keep and carry the evil grudge against anyone, but it's rather forgiving at all times, and it forgets all the evil very quick. We have a good example in David and Saul. You know, Saul, he was after David and wanted to kill him. But, you know, David, even though everything Saul did towards him and against him, he always had this inner love that made him able to bear through it all. And it says in verse 6, it says, it does not rejoice in iniquity, which really means that it's not happy to see unjust behavior. It wants justice, which comes to the next point, which says, but rejoices in the truth. Love, it rejoices when truth and righteousness is being done. And this is something that all of us have within us by the Spirit of God. And it also says in verse 7, bears all things. You know, when it bears all things, it gives you the ability to see that God has measured out everything for your life. Love knows that God has put a measure of what we can stand through when it comes to tests and trials, you know, because it says that God doesn't give any temptation over anyone's ability, because he's measured out exactly what we can handle. And that's why it says love bears all things, because it knows that God is in control. And it says believes all things, which really means that the Spirit of God in its time brings understanding or spiritual guidance in one's life. So it believes that God is really in control and is actually guiding you. And it says hopes all things, which really means that it's totally positive to every inspired advice that wants to bring you to the target. And we talked about hope. So it's completely positive to every inspired advice that will bring you to this goal. So it believes all things that God comes and reveals to you and gives you on your path and on your way towards our goal. So, and the last thing is, it endures all things. So it has the ability to stand through all pressure, all opposition that comes up against you, and also to up against the calling that God has laid in your life. So when you start looking at all these points, and I'm just going very quickly through them here. I would have loved to stay and show all these character, because this is attributes, and this love is something that you see in each and every person that you read about in the Bible. This is something that comes forth, you know, this humble and loving attitude. And this is something that we need help from God to achieve, because this is something that goes beyond our own ability to love. It's on a whole different level. And I'm not saying that this is just impossible, because I believe that you can feel this today. I believe you can feel this love today because that God has filled you with His Holy Spirit. And in that way, when you stay close to Him, as the example of a sheep, it just has its way of growing wool. It, because it's a sheep. And the same thing with the believer that has been filled with the Holy Spirit. When it does what it's supposed to do, these fruits will come through the believer's life, because it's nourishing itself from the source itself, and these will come naturally, just like a sheep grows wool. So I hope this could be something that can help us to understand, also to recognize who the real believers are, because this is something that you will see in the ones that are filled with the Holy Spirit. So this is a good way of discerning who is of God. You know, we can try to pretend that we are loving. We can try to pretend and have a copying attitude of this. But when it comes to the point, to the edge, it will show if you really are born of God or not. So I pray this week has been a blessing for each and every one, and that it could be a help and a guidance, and something that we can bring with us forward. So faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. And so faith and hope will someday cease, because we will reach the things that God has revealed to us. And love will always be, it will always be pleasant also in eternity. So may God bless you. And until next time, I just pray that you stay close to God and continue to be the salt and the light of this earth. So, amen.